The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And so he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she replied, "No one, sir." And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go. And from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. This passage is filled with a lot that really helps to have some knowledge. The first thing to kind of notice is that this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. So let your imagination run wild, but I can't talk much more about it. But certainly, those who have brought this woman forward would know who the man was and could easily have brought the man forward too, but they don't. They only bring the woman forward. So she becomes an object of their trap. Unconcerned about her, the shame they're exposing her, possible death. And so, as you know, in the Mosaic law, there was the practice that this sin had the penalty of death by stoning. But it was a penalty that was rarely enforced in Jesus' day. And if it was enforced, it was enforced with a trial in which the person was given a chance to repent. In other words, the purpose of the law was not to condemn, it was to save. In addition, Rome did not allow the Jewish people to put someone to death. And so legally, under Roman rule, the Jews could not actually implement this law, even though it was sometimes done in a mob situation, like we'll read in the Acts of the Apostles with St. Paul there. So the trap that these people are putting Jesus in is that if he says, "Yes, stone her," he's breaking Roman law and they can report him to the Romans. And if he says no, he's breaking Mosaic law and they can discredit him as a teacher in Israel. Very similar to the test that Jesus encountered when they asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes?" And so how does Jesus respond? "He who is not guilty, throw the first stone." And one by one, they walk away. Now, do they walk away because they recognize their sins? Probably not. They probably walk away because they realize that if they pick up a stone and throw it, they also are breaking Roman law, or they're falling into the same trap they sent for Jesus. But the irony is that Jesus has really exposed their sin. And so those who came to condemn this woman walk away condemned. The only one who doesn't walk away, of course, is the one who could throw the first stone, the one who is sinless, and that's Jesus. But he doesn't. He says, "Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No one, sir." And he says, "Neither do I," because he, like the law, was not intended to kill us or condemn us. He died to set us free. He stood in place of her punishment for sin, which is our punishment for sin, and he died. So by his death and resurrection, we may rise and be set free. That's what Jesus has done for us. And he says, "Go now and sin no more." God wants us to recognize that having been spared, having been given new life, we are to repent and change. And by his grace, we really can sin no more. We talk a lot about that in our church, and people debate that, I hear. There's two ways to look at sin. One way is breaking the law and doing things that are wrong. We are called not to break the law, and with God's grace, we can live that way. But the other sin that we're always guilty of is recognizing all that God has done for us and responding in a way that's worthy of the love God has shown us. And we always fall short in that. And so returning our love for God and loving others is a way we always fall short. And so we must continue to recognize our sins. But finally, and most powerfully, we're not to condemn others like these scribes and Pharisees of the crowd did. That is one of the greatest sins that us good people sometimes struggle with, the failure to forgive others. I think that's what this story is most about. You see, this woman was in a very difficult situation, correct? This woman represents all of us. But if we fail to forgive her, even when Jesus wants to forgive her or does forgive her, her life on earth is still a prison. Her life on earth is still miserable because we hold her guilty. And so it is when we fail to forgive others, when there's people in our family that we fail to forgive, when there's people who have hurt us, when we fail to forgive, what we are doing is we are working against what Christ died for. We become members of the Antichrist's kingdom, who wishes to hold us all bondage. And so one of the most common commands in the New Testament that you will find Jesus giving is that we must forgive others. Because when we fail to do that, we work against Christ and his mission and what he died for.